Biggs helped him dress with even more than his usual attention to detail. "I gave him a good rub of dubbing, sir," he pointed out as he helped Michael into the soft kudu skin boots. Michael appeared not to have heard the remark, although he had lain down again after the disturbance of the German aircraft's flyover. He had not managed to sleep. Yet he felt calm, even placid. "What's that, Biggs?" he asked vaguely. "I said I'll have your number ones laid out for you when you come back, and I've arranged with the cook for a good 5 gallons of hot water for your bath." "Thank you, Biggs." "Not every day it happens, Mr. Michael." "That's true, Biggs. Once in a lifetime is enough. I'm sure you and the young lady are going to be very happy. Me and me missus been married 22 years come June, sir." "A long time, Biggs." "Hope you break my record, Mr. Michael." "I'll try." One other thing, sir." Biggs was embarrassed. He did not look up from the lacings of the boots. "We shouldn't ought to be flying alone, sir. Not safe at all, sir. We should take Mr. Johnston with us at least. Beg your pardon, sir. I know it's not my place to say so." Michael laid his hand on Biggs's shoulder for a moment. He had never done that before. "Have that bath ready for me when I get home," he said as he stood up. Biggs watched him stoop out through the flap of the tent without saying goodbye or wishing him luck, though he took an effort to restrain himself from doing so. Then he picked up Michael's discarded jacket and folded it with exaggerated care.